Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it's treating you good for this June 12th, 2023. 9:06 on the clock. It's your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa and Beth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we hope you guys are having a great start to your day out there. We're going to get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day for you in a little bit. We also got some entertainment news. But right now, it's a Monday morning. You know how we like to kick things off. Something good.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. This week, we're going to dumpster dive. What I actually mean is we're going to talk about kitchen scraps and how you can get more use out of them and even use them to produce more food for your family.
Okay. Well, this is usually the spot where I talk about and thank our sponsor, and that could be you. We're currently looking for a sponsor for our Kitchen's Open segment, and we would love to have you join our little club for a while.
Yes. As our listeners know, we talk about and promote our sponsor at the beginning and end of our segments on Mondays. It's a great partnership, and we loved having Kathy from Chatterbox Catering over the last 2 months. A new sponsor from a business involved with food would be great, but I bet you I could make any sponsor work. Everybody loves food.
Absolutely, and I know you could. And it would be interesting to see how you could tie it all in. So let's see that. Now, what is this about our segment? You know, we're making food out of garbage?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or another way of looking at it is getting the most out of the food you spend your hard-earned money on.
Are you going to make me eat my apple cores? You know the seeds actually contain a compound that turns into cyanide in your digestive system, right?
Well, that is true. However, you would have to eat like 20 apples in one sitting, and they would have to contain at least 150 seeds. And you would have to pulverize each one of those seeds completely for the minuscule amount of cyanide to do you any harm. But I'm not talking about apple cores today.
Okay, so what are we talking about then?
Well, back in early January, we talked about making broth at home. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love to do now, honestly, and it started after we did that segment. I save all of my kitchen scraps to make broth.
And you go through that many vegetables in your house for just the two of you to do this?
Well, yes, over time, I keep a container in the freezer and I put all of my odds and ends of my vegetables that I don't want to use in the food I'm making in there.
Oh, so it's not like you're making broth every time you make a stir fry. Oh, wait, sorry. In your case, it's curry at your house, right?
Oh, for sure. I make way more curries than I do stir fries now. But I try to save everything I would normally throw away unless it's rotten or moldy.
Everything? Like onion skins and carrot peels?
Yeah, exactly that. I use a lot of onions, carrots, and celery in my home cooking, so much of my frozen scraps tend to be those, but you can also save mushroom ends, garlic peelings, ends of green beans, even corn cobs.
Wait a minute. Corn cobs?
Apparently. On thekitchen.com, they listed everything from eggplant to asparagus and beet greens. They recommend avoiding some vegetables that can overpower your broth, such as Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage.
That makes sense. Those veggies would add flavor.
Yeah, and smell.
Oh.
I actually had a bit of cabbage in my last batch, and when my boyfriend got home, he was like, we need to open these windows.
Oh, no. But here I'm looking at another website, SeriousEats.com, and they list things like turnips, fennel, ginger, and leeks. Those all sound super aromatic.
That's true, and I think it's all up to personal taste. While my broth had a definite smell, it tasted pretty good. It also had some beef fat and scraps of beef in there from a roast I trimmed. That's another thing you can add, chicken bones or other pieces of meat you trim off and would normally throw away. If I buy like a whole chicken or something, or we have a rotisserie chicken for dinner, that's when I pull the crock pot out and dump everything in it and let it cook overnight.
Overnight? But SeriousEats.com says to only simmer frozen then thawed vegetables for 15 minutes, or the broth can turn out sweet.
Yeah, I read that too, but I've never really had that problem. Maybe it's because I don't put corn cobs in mine. I don't know. It's all kind of a crapshoot with this method of how your broth is going to turn out, since you aren't really controlling what you're putting in, per se.
But you could use this method to make a quick broth by adding everything to a large pot, covering with water, and bringing it to a boil. Then it says to only simmer for about 10 minutes before you strain it immediately.
Yep, that's a method. I say do whatever works for you. I like having frozen broth on hand to pull out whenever I need to use it.
Well, that is a handy thing to have when you need it. And you're always paying for the vegetable scraps you use. You're already getting, you know, paying for them. So so that's all great.
Yeah. But if you don't want to make broth, or maybe it's something you don't use a lot of, there's another thing you can do with your kitchen scraps. You can use them to grow fruits and vegetables.
Oh, like putting the end of a celery stalk in water and letting it grow again.
Exactly. My bestie Laura and I started doing this around the same time, but we didn't even really talk about it much. I had been growing green onions in a pot, and I walked into her house one day, and she had lettuce going from the base of a head. It was great.
That's cool. I guess it's not really that far-fetched. I mean, farmers grow crops from pieces of plants. Take garlic and potatoes, for instance. Way back when, it was important to save seed potatoes for the next year and then let them sprout eyes so that they could be planted in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Very true. But I didn't realize how many kinds of kitchen scraps you can actually grow back again right in your kitchen. The only one I remember doing as a kid was the avocado seed. You know, when you poke the toothpicks into it so that it can sit with just one end in the water and sprout a root, and then you plant it in dirt.
Yeah.
Well, mine grew about a foot tall, and it had several leaves. It was going really great before I killed it.
Aw, poor Avo. You should have started with something easier, like celery, romaine lettuce, or bok choy. According to GardenTech.com, all you need is about an inch of the plant above the base. Place it cut side up in a shallow bowl and then add about a half an inch of water. You do have to refresh the water regularly so it doesn't run out or get icky. Place it in a sunny spot and it will start growing after several days. And you can keep growing them right there in the water, or after they do sprout those roots, you can plant them in a pot with dirt.
Oh, here's one I want to try. They say ginger root is super easy to regrow. You just need a scrap. But you have to let it dry out at room temperature overnight if it has a fresh, wet cut, like you just cut it off part of the root. Mm-hmm. So then you plant the scrap in about an inch deep of soil. And it says here that ginger can live for years indoors. Wow. Since it's a tropical plant, it will bear unusually striking blooms. Mm. How cool. So when you want to use some of the ginger, you just pull up a part of the root and let the rest grow. Oh, I'm excited to try this. Guess I need to buy real ginger for once instead of the paste in a jar.
And you can. You can find those in grocery stores all over the place. Okay, but the paste, you know, is really easy and it's more convenient.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. Did you know that you can grow many citrus fruits that seed? Key limes are some of the easiest, but they do tend to take several years to mature and bear fruit.
Well, if you don't want to invest years waiting for your scraps to produce something, you can use, I highly recommend, green onions. They already have the roots, so all you have to do is plant it in potting soil. Just don't overwater it like I did, because otherwise they'll just rot and stink. And they stink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, any rotting onion is going to be, But we could also mention carrots. They're worth mentioning, or beets, or other root crops. Well, you can't regrow the root part itself. You can get the leafy tops to resprout. You just need to save about an inch of the vegetable and place the cut end in the shallow tray of water. So this time, cut end is down for these root vegetables. And then after several days, you should see a new green tops growing. You can harvest the greens when they're ready, and after the roots have developed a little bit, then you can plant them in the ground or a pot and harvest as needed.
Yeah, and they just keep growing the green tops. So now there's other scraps we could talk about, but with all this talk of sprouting, I want to talk about sprouts.
Like alfalfa?
Yes, but did you know that there are so many other seeds you can sprout, and they are essentially mini superplants?
I did know that. According to CountryLifeFoods.com, sprouting seeds are packed with protein, fiber, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and plant enzymes. Seed sprouts are highly nutritious and beneficial for your health.
Now, we all know about alfalfa sprouts. You can find them very easily in the store, but they're easy to grow at home, and then you don't have to worry about any pesticides or contamination because you know the exact conditions they grew in.
There are so many seeds you can sprout. Broccoli sprouts have a mild, spicy, nutty flavor and don't taste at all like broccoli. They take about 5 days to grow and are a great source of fiber, folic acid, and vitamins A, C, and K.
Now, beet sprouts take a little longer, but they're such a pretty pink color. Mm. They can take between 11 to 21 days and taste pretty much like regular beets, but they contain vitamins A, B, C, E, and K, as well as iron, calcium, and protein.
Green peas are another choice that are delicious with a sweet, mild flavor, and they can add a crunch to salads or sandwiches. They only take about 2 to 3 days and have vitamins A, B, C, and minerals like calcium, iron, and phosphorus.
A, B, C, easy as 1, 2, 3.
Simple as do-re-mi, A, B, C, 1, 2.
1, 2, 3, baby, you and me,
girl.
Girl. Yeah. All right, well, we've done a little bit of musical theater, and yeah. We've established that these sprouts have a multitude of vitamins and minerals. So let's just talk about the other options and how to grow them.
All right. Other options include kale, chickpea, lentils, mung beans, mustard, radish, red clover, and sunflowers, just to name a few. They all have unique flavors they add to your food and, as we mentioned, lots of nutrients. Many of them you'll want to eat raw, but some you can cook lightly, including mung beans, lentils, and chickpeas.
And sprouting them is easy. All you need is a quart-sized, wide-mouth mason jar and either a sprouting lid, which is just like a fine mesh, or plain cheesecloth. Mm-hmm. You put about 1 to 2 tablespoons of your seeds in the jar and cover them with water. Let them soak for at least 8 hours or overnight. Some seeds take longer than others, especially like the mung beans and the chickpeas. Drain and rinse the sprouts with new water through the sprouting lid or cheesecloth and drain until most of the water is poured out. You want your seeds damp, but not wet. Mm. Then you keep repeating this process of rinsing and draining 2 to 3 times per day until the sprouts are grown to your liking.
Then you remove them from the jar and rinse them in a water-filled bowl. Cover the sprouts with water in the bowl to get the seed holes to loosen and rise to the top. Skim them off and repeat if necessary. Once you have the holes removed, you'll want to drain the sprouts well and let them air dry on a dishcloth on the counter. You can store them in the fridge in a container lined with paper towels for at least a week.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are a couple of safety notes you'll want to keep in mind if you're going to do this at home. You need to buy sprouting-specific seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sprout any old seeds unless they've been tested for E. coli, salmonella, and other harmful bacteria. Now, this includes just buying lentils off the shelf in the store. Manufacturers expect you to cook those, so they're not necessarily safe to sprout. Make sure you look for sprouting-specific seeds.
It's also important to use cooled-down boiled water or filter water to soak the seeds and rinse the sprouts. You need to keep all of your equipment clean and make sure your lids have enough holes for ventilation. Because you're growing these in such a humid environment, sprouts have a very high risk of bacterial infection. If any beans or seeds have a funny smell or look slimy, throw them out.
On that note, I think we should stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us here on WFHR. As we mentioned at the beginning, we are looking for a new sponsor for our segment, and we always enjoy hearing from our listeners.
That's right.
You can message us through Facebook at our WFHR page or email me at melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
If you're interested in being a sponsor for the show, call Pam at 715-424-1300. That's 424-1300. And she'll connect you with Ashley, our head of sales department.
You can also call in during the show if you have something to add, 715-424-2600. Or our newly updated app has an awesome call feature that will put you right in touch with us while you're listening on your phone at the touch of a button. So with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Great segment, you two. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Look, already looking forward to next Monday and another episode of The Kitchen's Open. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. We're about to dive into a little bit of entertainment news for you. Last week we were talking about Malcolm's dad, Mr. Breaking Bad himself, Bryan Cranston. And talking about his kind of plans for a retirement, sort of.
Aww.
But we misunderstood Mr. Cranston.
Okay.
He is not retiring, not actually retiring. He wants this very clear. He's just hitting the pause button for a year after he turns 70 in 2026. He says, quote, "I'm not even sure what pausing means entirely, but at this moment, I think it means that by taking a year off, it will provide several things. Brian wants to spend more time with his wife, Robin, and have a reset in his career to, quote, replenish my soul and prepare for whatever roles I might be offered in a more authentic way. This will also include a break from social media so he can read all the books that he has been behind on. But before that happens, he's got several movies coming out, and he's planning a return to Broadway.
Well, there you go.
Quote, "For now, let me just express my deep gratitude to all of you who have been so incredibly kind and generous with your time in reading my posts and following my career. I never take my good fortune for granted. I am blessed, and man, do I know it. I wish all of you well, and I'll see you down the road."
Hmm. Nice.
So what he's doing is actually taking a sabbatical.
What he's doing is listening to his wife.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's doing. Like, read between the lines on all this. And Robin has been on him about this. And he's joked about this for years. Part of what I love and respect about Mr. Cranston is not only a guy who got his break late in life, which, you know, I'm kind of a little biased about. but certainly his attitude in interviews, the way he carries himself. And again, tying back to a conversation from last Friday, this is a guy who, anytime you want to give him credit, yeah, that's nice. Have you met my wife, Robin? every single time. And I joke about that's a smart guy right there and all those things. But it is a very it's important. We talk a lot about representation and how important that is as far as creeds and the sexes and all these things. And it is greatly important. It's just as important when it comes to situations like this. The acting game is a weird one, and it's not one that I expect anybody to have any empathy for or to necessarily even want to dive into, like in this day and age. I don't know why. When you could be an influencer or a YouTube star, like, I mean, I don't, you have to really love this craft to dive into acting. One of the things that I've always loved about acting is that I don't have to retire. One of my favorite actors, Anthony Quinn. A wonderful actor who kind of gets lost in the shuffle of the greats.
Right.
But make no moans, if you've ever seen Anthony Quinn act, you know that he was one of the greatest of all time and one of the trailblazers for Latino actors and many others. But Anthony Quinn used to talk about how, why would I retire? I love this. I can do this my whole life. I've seen my whole life watching sports stars that would kill to be able to play sports in their 70s, like Anthony Quinn could act in his 70s, that obviously couldn't, you know. And I think we're very fortunate, we're blessed as actors, that we can do this as long as we want. If you have a career that gave you a good wealth where you can retire, quote unquote, retire, and, you know, you have this, because there's no 401k for actors. There's no retirement plan for actors. So to be able to do this is a gift, is a blessing. It's also it's weird because the reason you know Bryan Cranston, the reason you know Samuel L. Jackson or Tina Fey or any of these people is because this insane, relentless drive that we have to know our names, for us to be out there. So the same thing that drives us and get us to that point where we're known is the same thing that keeps us from retiring.
Right.
I've heard Samuel L. Jackson talk about this. I think we can all agree Samuel L. Jackson got a pretty good established career.
Oh, yeah.
His legacy is set.
Mm-hmm.
Not to him. He still feels like the guy that's waiting for that break. He's still fighting. He's still trying to, like, and he's not alone. I've heard Hugh Jackman talk about this and how you just never know when the phone's going to stop ringing.
Right.
And you don't want to be the last person to know about that. You know, look at Russell Crowe. Look at what Nicolas Cage went through, and now it's coming out the other end of where he's finally back in the big screen box office movies and everything. Mm-hmm. So to take a year off at 70 even is dangerous as far as your career goes. I guarantee you Brian's his agent is begging him not to do this. Because while he's 70 and like, well, I'm Bryan Cranston, I got a pretty established career. There's not a age in acting where there isn't 1,000 people behind you waiting for that role. There's there's 1,000 70-year-olds waiting for that role, Mr. Cranston. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult, and I admire that he wants to pull away. I admire that he puts his family first in these things.
Mm-hmm. And audiences can be fickle.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, because he brings up something that I think is very deeply important with this. The reason that we see movies. Now, there's a movie coming out, Oppenheimer, that looks amazing. It's all about the Oppenheimer, the bomb being created and everything, and Oppenheimer's place in it. There is stuff that we've never heard about that was finally released in the book that is going to come out in the movie and everything. I'm excited about it. I wouldn't say that there's a couple of my favorite actors are in it, but I'm not going to see it because of Cillian Murphy or Robert Downey Jr. I'm seeing it because of the concept and everything.
Right.
But the majority of movies you go to is, oh, look, Robert Downey Jr. is in a new movie. I'll see it. Even though I don't care about Dr. Doolittle. It's my guy. It's Robert.
Right.
I want to see him in a movie. That kind of thing. We get pulled to movies because of these actors because we end up caring about these actors. We end up liking them. Mm-hmm. Or a guy like Robert Downey Jr., for me, well, I've never seen him do a bad movie. So, you know that kind of thing or something. It pulls you in one way or another. And giving credit to that, thanking people for being a fan of mine. Hey, thanks, thanks for liking my work. I really appreciate it. There's a line in the sand. You see somebody, you see someone of these people, with their family or something like that. I would like to think that you can let them just be. But I will always come back to what John Waters said. You know, somebody, he's having a nice meal in a fancy restaurant. A fan comes over and says, oh, I hate to bother you. I'm sorry. And John Waters right away, oh, no, honey, don't bother. Don't mind. You paid for this meal. I'm not eating in this fancy restaurant if you didn't buy my book. So please come over. Did you want something to eat? Are you okay? Did you want to pull up a chair? I like that. I admire that. Give some respect to the fans out there. Give some respect to the people that made you. If whatever you're doing in life, if you ain't doing it for that, I don't know what you're doing. It's got to come down for us. It's got to come down to you out there, the listener. If you're not doing radio for the listener, I guarantee you, I promise you on everything I am, you are not going to last long in this business.
Yeah. And what I appreciate about this is that we often look to these stars as role models for the way to live and all of that. And he is now role modeling for older people and anybody. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to have a pause. It's okay to have that sabbatical time to reset and refocus so that you can stay mentally healthy to continue to do something in the future.
Got it.
And your family's important.
Yes.
Yeah. God help me, I get that break. I can't imagine taking like a day off. I can't even imagine that. So I admire that. And the new Netflix docuseries, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone dive deep into their race to be the biggest action star of the 80s. And Stallone says their rivalry got so heated that, quote, we couldn't even stand to be in the same room. People had to separate us.
Oh, wow.
They are really, 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 really good friends now. They talk all the time.
Good.
And Stallone is even willing to admit that Arnold was the better, quote, he was superior. He just had all the answers. He had the body. He had the strength. That was his character. He adds, quote, I had to get my butt kicked constantly, whereas Arnold, he never got hurt much. And I'm going, Arnold, you could go out and fight a dragon and you'd come back with a Band-Aid. There's so much ego involved in acting and confidence, and there's especially when it comes to action stars, where you think you know ego, stand around one of them one day and see how it is. I think this is so cool that he's done this.
Yeah.
Like that Stallone comes out and says something like that. I just think that's cool. You don't hear other actors giving each other credit like that very often, let alone action stars.
And being so self-deprecating.
Yeah.
I mean, he held his own in the 80s with the movies he was in.
I actually disagree with Mr. Stallone. I think Stallone was the... I think they're both wrong. I think Bruce Willis was the action star of the 80s.
Yes.
But if I'm marking this up, and mind you, this is 1A, 1B, 1C. Those three, Bruce, Arnold, Stallone, easily the face of action stars of the 80s. I'm sorry, you can miss me with Seagal and Van Damme and blah, blah, blah. Nah. They don't even hold a candle to these three guys. But for me, my rankings, Bruce, Stallone, Arnold. And it's very close. It's very, very close with all of them. But I don't think you can go wrong. We lived in a heck of a time. We're not making new action stars. Like the youngest action star is The Rock, and he just turned 50. Like, somebody's got to get to work. Like, somebody start pumping some weights here or something like that. I don't know what Timothy Chalamet is up to, but let's get him some pumping some iron or something. Like, the kid's a fantastic actor. Let's get him into the action roles or something. These poor action stars. Like, can we let Stallone and these guys finally relax? let them stop having to pump iron and get some new action stars.
Let them get a role in a rom-com or
there
something.
There you go.
Well, that didn't work very well in the 80s. Both of those guys got two ways. What was his? Stallone had a movie. Throw Mama from the Train.
Yep.
He did have the great Estelle Getty in that one.
Yes.
And Arnold with Kindergarten Cop.
Arnold also had True Lies.
And True Lies. Which True Lies.
Yeah. Rom-com bit. And that one was good.
Yeah, that one was good.
That's all right. It
had a good mix of romance and action.
Yeah, and if you didn't have Arnold doing Kindergarten Cop, you wouldn't have It's Not the Tuma.
It's Not the Tuma. Get to the chopper.
My dad's a gynecologist.
We're going to get to the chopper as we get to Melissa's news now. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show.
Long distance information. Give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find a party and try to get in touch with me.
Hope you're having a great Monday out there. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And we're going to take take a little time here with this one. Every now and then, people talk about retiring words and phrases. And usually it's teenage internet slang that has run its course and starts annoying
or that we
everyone.
Don't know what it means.
Yep. It's so fire.
Cake.
But there are more established modern day phrases that also need to go. And there's a thread online where people are suggesting the phrases that they'd like to get rid of forever.
Okay.
And here are some pretty good ones, I think. So let's go ahead and start right at the bottom here. Living the dream. I don't believe that anybody has ever said that genuinely.
It's always sarcasm.
It's always sarcasm. Yeah. Always. Yep. Living the dream.
Mm-hmm. How you doing today? Oh, living the dream, man.
Yep.
I already am seeing something here where it's not just so much about the phrase as the phrase is what it embodies and what it encourages.
Right.
Or what it's evolved into.
Right.
Yeah. How about boys will be boys?
Oh, yeah, that one needs to go. That one needs to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It used to have a light tone to it and a silly meaning and everything. And now the way it has been kind of like weaponed. It has this term to it and this way to it that doesn't make any darn sense.
It's being used to normalize inappropriate behavior.
Can we get over the idea of men not being manly and people worrying about men not being men? Like, genetics are genetics, man. You ain't going to change that. Like, men have always been men. Men will always be men, just like women will always be women, et cetera, et cetera. People are people. The idea that, men are soft nowadays, or because you're more in touch with who you are as a human being, that makes you less of a man?
I hear this and I hear it as an excuse for behaving a certain way, which is not an appropriate way to behave. It's demeaning. Mm-hmm. It's subjugating other people. That's not okay.
I hear I'll say this as a man to my fellow men out there. I find it cowardly.
Yeah.
I find it very, very cowardly to be able to not look. One of the toughest things in life to do is to look inward. Is to face yourself, to face your fears, to face who you are as a human being. It's one of the toughest challenges in existence. If you can do that, that's a pretty hardcore man right there to me. That's somebody who is very in touch with their manhood and everything. The idea that I'm not a man unless I have a pickup and I've got a big belt buckle and I got dirt under my nails and get out of here. Miss me with that. That's ridiculous. It's one of the silliest things I've ever heard of in my life. And by the way, that also sounds like somebody I could be describing a woman working in a garden. What are we talking about here?
Well, and I think there's the other way, too, of being immature.
Yeah.
A little bit, where it's, okay, you guys really tried to knock down that tree with a bulldozer. Yeah. Okay, boys will be boys.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Oh.
Yeah, I use that one quite a bit, yeah. I have to admit I use that one.
It's an easy go-to.
Yeah. It is the perfect quote or phrase waiting for you when you've you're at your wit's end.
Yep.
And you've got nothing else.
Yep. You got nothing. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that one.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Again, I will admit that I'm guilty of that one, but I never use it intentionally.
Yeah.
It's always I'm in the middle of conversation and it comes out. Mm-hmm. And every time I cringe when I say it. Because this is another one that has gotten weaponized.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know where he is anymore and I don't care, but a little bow tie boy, the guy who just puts Tucker, whatever.
Carlson.
Yeah. The guy, whatever, wherever he is now, he's doing whatever that is.
Yeah. Like,
when he was on CNN, he was all Democratic. When he was on Fox, he was all Republican. I don't know why anybody believes a thing out of that guy's mouth. But he is the definition of whataboutism and just saying, I'm not really, he can't own his thoughts. Mm-hmm. He's not strong enough as a human being to actually just say what he feels.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's like saying no offense when you know you've said something that's going to be offensive.
Yes. Yeah, it's a passive-aggressive statement.
That's another phrase that, if you ask me, it better be on this list because it needs to go.
Tucker Carlson is one of the lamest, most cowardly human beings I've ever seen get paid to talk for a living. Easily, like top five, easily. Just how turncoat he is. Yeah. I don't know how you can believe anything from the guy. Number 11, thoughts and prayers. Now, this one has, again, a deeper meaning to it.
Yeah.
We've got, name me one person out there who isn't frustrated with school shootings.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say what side of the aisle they're on about gun debate or any of these things. I'd like to think that we're all pretty frustrated by this, just that question, that statement alone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What happens usually after these school shootings? What are the first things you see tweeted, that you see on social media, that you hear news announcers talking about? Thoughts and prayers to the victims. Thoughts and prayers to the family. Because, again, just like it is what it is, we got nothing else. We don't know what else to do. And so I don't think people are literally frustrated with thoughts and prayers or the phrase thoughts and prayers. We're frustrated, period.
Right.
And it comes that we need something to blame. We need something to take our anger out on in those things. And, well, you know, thoughts and prayers. How dare you say that? You know that doesn't blah, 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 blah. When for some of us and some people, that's all you got. You got to do something. What is the other point? Putting your head in the sand or ignoring it? I mean, you got to say something at some point. Now, can we do better? God, yes. Mm-hmm. We should be doing better. But, you know, it is what it is.
If you're going to say
see what I did there? See what I did there?
Yeah.
If you're going to say it, then actually do it. That's the issue, that people use that phrase just to be kind of make themselves and the other person, try to make themselves feel better about not being able to do anything for the other person. But if you're going to say thoughts and prayers, actually think about what's going on and say that prayer for it.
Yeah, because it does have power. But the fact that we've had more shootings, mass shootings this year than we've had days in this year.
Yeah.
More than 260 already this year. Mm-hmm. That's not okay.
No.
No. The overuse and misuse of gaslighting. Yeah. Now, that's a big one, and I'm glad that term has gotten a much more popularized and people understand it. But at the same time, I fear that people don't quite understand what that word means.
Right.
We can't overuse these things, otherwise they don't have their meaning anymore.
Right.
At one point, fake news had a tone to it. Now everybody has weaponized it. Yep. Both sides of the aisle have weaponized it. Almost every politician has, blah, blah, blah. Like, the gaslighting is one of those things. We can't let that happen to that. That's too important of a term. We've brought too much to light. We worked too hard as a society to get to this point. We can't let that happen with that word. The overuse and misuse of the word literally. And we literally got to stop doing that.
Yep. I don't know. I like that one. It's got its comedic timing if you do it right.
Yes.
Exactly. Comedically, though, I take it all back. Comedically, I take it all back. Absolutely. Yes. Very similar to what we were saying earlier about living the dream being used only sarcastically.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like literally is only used in a joking sense, it seems like, anymore. Mm-hmm.
Which mm-hmm. I don't mind. I don't mind that at all. I think it's kind of funny. I mean, I literally think it's funny. It was bad. This is why we need writers, people. This is why we need the writer's strike to end. You just got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
I thought that one's already gone, hasn't it?
No, I still hear people using it.
Really?
Yeah.
When's the last
time? It's literally not possible to use the word we just said should
it
go.
It is what it is.
We don't have any straps on our boots anymore.
Exactly. Actually, no, there are some boots that there do, some, but we don't some. Use them for the purpose that they were put on the boots for.
Yeah, but you can't actually lift yourself up. It's like trying to lick your elbow. It's not possible.
Yeah, yeah. God, one of my favorite things to do is to say to a kid that has never heard that before, yeah, it's like trying to lick your elbow, because every one of them does the very same thing.
Has to try it.
Yes, has. They're bending.
But wait, I can.
Contorting themselves. These next three are classics.
Okay.
And this one right here, I can't say it and not think of my mother, because my mother used to say it to me every hard thing that ever happened in life, and there was a lot of those things. So she said it a lot to me growing up. You know, Jimmy, everything happens for a reason. Drive me nuts. Nuts.
Yep.
Was she right? Absolutely. She was absolutely correct. Does it, but there's a time to say that phrase and a time not to say that phrase. and it's not when things are going horribly wrong.
No.
She had good intentions, of course, and everything.
There's a difference between things happening for a reason as a consequence to something that has happened and thinking that something happened for a reason to take you to the future. Like that it's just make yourself feel better. Mm-hmm. It may not have happened for a reason, but you can still learn from what has happened.
Yeah. Yeah. The misuse of I could care less. Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't care less.
Yes. I couldn't care less is the way it should be said. Yes. And I think the number one on this list, sorry, not sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
It had its heyday for a little while.
It did.
Yeah. It just like a lot of these things, it had its moment, but it's gone now. We need to come up with a new one. We definitely do.
I think that's what we should work on for our next poll. What new phrase do you want to add?
Yeah, that's a good poll. 424-2600. Call up and, throughout any of our shows, you can call up at any time and give us that phrase that you think should go be retired. I've got one honorable mention here. Welcome to the real world.
Here's the one I want to add to this list. Adulting.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I could see that, yeah. I could see that one being overused.
It's on its way out, I think.
Speaking of questions and interacting with you guys out there, it is June Dairy Month.
It is.
And as we get ready for the Cranberry Blossom Fest going on here in Wisconsin Rapids, that we're so excited about coming up next week.
Yeah,
this Thursday.
It's starting this Thursday.
Yeah, but this weekend.
It's right there, right there. We are asking what your favorite dairy products are this month. We've got some votes for ice cream, chocolate milk, butter, cheese, aged white cheddar.
That's mine.
On this list.
Frozen custard.
Oh, there we go.
Come on.
All right.
Culver's.
Yes.
Yep.
That's a good one. I'm writing it down right now, Beth. All right. So right now, ice cream is leading with two votes, but everything else has one vote. So
we need more votes.
Need more votes. Feel free to join us and get us those votes at 424-2600. For now, we will take a quick commercial break, come back with Then A Right Story, some local good stories of the day, and plenty more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping. Folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.
Take it home, guys.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taken and no.
We might have to tell Seth we can't have Dolly in the bumpers.
Because you can't talk over her.
I can't talk over Dolly. I can't do that. Certain voices I am not going to talk over. Anita Baker, Dolly Parton, two of those voices.
There you go.
We got some local good stories of the day to get to, but for right now, Melissa, Beth, and I are going to touch on That Ain't Right story, and then we'll get to that local good stuff for you. The headline here, this comes to us from ABC 7 out in Nevada. Las Vegas police respond to home after 911 call claims UFO with aliens crashed in backyard.
Oh my. Okay. That sounds vaguely familiar.
It does
like
seem
a movie. Or
it
something?
Does seem to seem like a little bit of a movie. Yeah.
Drew Barrymore there?
Oh, yes. Las Vegas police have released body cam and 911 audio of officers responding to a call from a family who claimed a UFO crashed in their backyard. And according to ABC News, the family called 911 on May 1st to report something crashed in their backyard. In the 911 audio released, the caller says his father and his brother were in their large backyard working on their trucks when something crashed and they felt an impact. The caller goes on to say there's some things coming out of the machine or whatever. They have big eyes and it's looking at us. They're very large. They're like 8 foot, 9 foot, 10 foot. They're not human. 100% they're not human. Officers responded to the residents, and when they arrived, there was no signs of anything. Police said officers conducted a preliminary investigation but were unable to find anything. The case was closed as, quote, unfounded, officials said.
Okay.
The House Oversight Committee is in its early stages of preparing a hearing on UFOs in the wake of unconfirmed claims the U.S. allegedly found crashed alien spacecrafts, an account the Pentagon says it is unsubstantiated. But this is the new world that we're in now, where the reality of UFOs is here. Mm-hmm. Our own government has owned this now. We understand that we have been, had unidentified flying objects, maybe to the strictest of definitions, may not be the day they are still or ET or something, but we have had unidentified flying objects. All that being said, don't bug the police with this, man. They got enough on their plates.
And didn't any of them have their smartphone out there to take some video?
Yeah, that's the catch to me, Melissa. You have, in this day and age, you can't convince me that somebody had something like this happening and you didn't grab the phone, that you didn't record it. I don't know how much I believe this, Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do find it awesome that they released the cam footage, though, that they went all in on this and everything. Nice job by the police department. I think that's really funny. We want to get to some local good stories of the day. We got a couple of things from the United Way we'll touch on in just a second. But first, I wanted to start with a big, big, big thank you to everybody that was a part of Petpalooza yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to everybody that showed up. You all are incredible. Wanted to thank Madison, her team over at the South Ogoni Humane Society, them hosting us, of course. We greatly appreciate that. A shout out to Ashley, our head of our sales and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
all her hard work on this.
Yep. Did such a good job on this one. Thank you to all the people that came by, like Papa John's and Bow Wow Meow and Paws the
Rough
Tales,
Ranch.
The Rough Ranch, all their demonstrations and all those things. Special shout out and thank you to Christopher Lee and the great music that he provided. And of course, we are nowhere without our sponsors, these great people that put back into this community, that invest in this community: Sparhawk Trucking, Crockett Septic, Current Technologies LLC, Port Auto Body Shop, The Rough Ranch, PepsiCo in Wisconsin Rapids, Express Recycling, Quality Plus Printing. I mentioned all them. I didn't have to. All right. Our legal obligation to that ended yesterday. I mentioned them all again because they deserve it, because that's why it's right. That's why you advertise with us, everybody. Yep. We do this kind of thing all the time. You get your money's worth and then a little
something.
Well, we appreciate our local businesses.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. We do. We greatly appreciate them. And thanks for making the first annual Petpalooza a success. Thank you so much. Also wanted to touch on the summer food service program that provides nutritious meals to children during the summer when free and reduced price school meals are typically unavailable. Free meals will be made available to all children 18 years of age and under. For breakfast, Monday through Friday, at Lincoln High School at 1801 16th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. That is available today through July 20th. No meals on July 3rd or 4th, and that's between 7:30 and 8:30. Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School also has this available at 1921 27th Avenue South in Wisconsin Rapids. That is also going on today until July 28th from 8 until 8:30. And for lunches, those are available Monday through Friday at Mead Park near the Splash Pad at 14th Avenue South between Chase and Alton Street here in Rapids, starting today until August 18th, 11:30 to 12:30. And at Winter Park Shelter outside of the Aquatic Center at 681 Chestnut Street in Wisconsin Rapids from today until August 18th, 11:30 to 12:30. As one of these kids growing up that needed this, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you to everybody that makes this possible. It takes a lot of moving parts and a lot of people to provide these meals and get this ready. Greatly appreciate them doing that.
Absolutely.
Beth, you've got something there for us.
Yeah, the United Way is still going on with their great book giveaway. There is these are free events. You are able to get free books. Volunteers will be there to read to the kids. There are some childcare centers. Everybody is welcome. Doesn't matter where you're from, where you're going. There's one last one coming up tomorrow, June 13th, at Lester Public Library of Vesper at 12:30. So if you haven't had a chance to make it, that's the one to go to. Tomorrow, 12:30 at Vesper, the Lester Public Library in Vesper.
Make sure to
And they have a nice little park right next door to there to hang out in afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good point. Thank you, Melissa. And registration for Stuff the Desk is open. Be sure to get a part, be a part of that. Register your kids and get those school supplies. You can find out more about all of this at uwswac.org. Encourage you to do that. Encourage you to stick around right here. Not only will we have Playmakers coming up from 3 to 4 today, live and direct, we're here to take your phone calls during that hour. Be sure to join Randy, Paul, and I as we get into sports and all things sports. And we get you ready for Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight. Our pregame kicks off at 6:20. Join Joey and the boys this summer as the Rafters keep rolling in Lakeshore tonight. Going to be a good one. Thank you both for a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at I like this.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.